the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present the Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, The House with the Blue Curtains, was written by Mark Siegel. It is based on the book October 43, written by Uwe Bertelsen.
Hello, hello.
Mr. Bertelsen.
Yes, yes, Bertelsen here. Who's this?
Wilson.
The chief of police?
Yes, I must see you immediately.
At 5 o'clock in the morning?
It's urgent, Mr. Bertelsen.
Oh, well, all right. I'll be right there as soon as I get dressed.
No, Mr. Bertelsen, I'll come to your house.
To my house?
Yes, right away. It's on Birdinger Lane, isn't it?
Yes, yes, 33A. You won't miss it. It's the house with the blue curtains. My name is Uwe Bertelsen. In September of 1943, I was a school teacher, a teacher of divinity, to be exact. I lived with my wife Gerda and my two children in a house with blue curtains in Lyngby, a suburb of Copenhagen. We lived quietly, or as quietly as one could, in Denmark, Hitler's model protectorate. I didn't like the Nazis, what civilized man could. But I must confess, with shame, that until a foggy morning in September 1943, I didn't understand fully what was happening to my country. It was on that day that Moritzson, Langby's chief of police, telephoned me at 5 o'clock in the morning. 15 minutes later, he was at my front door.
Mr. Bertelsen?
Yes, I am Bertelsen.
May we come in?
Of course. We?
I have two children with me.
You have your children with you at this hour?
Not my children. Please, Mr. Bertelsen, it would be wiser if we came in immediately.
The chief of police walked into my house out of the fog, followed by two children, a boy of 8, a girl of 10. He left them sitting in our entrance hall and motioned me to our living room. Before sitting down, he closed the curtains, the blue curtains which hang in every window of our house.
Mr. Bertelsen, you must forgive my strange behavior.
I forgive it, but I don't understand it. What do you want of me? Why are you here?
Those two children. I want you to hide them for a few days.
Hide them?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Who are they?
The boy's name is Benjamin, the girl's Ruth. They're Jewish.
What's that got to do with it? Frankly, this is the most extraordinary...
Mr. Bertelsen, please listen to me carefully.
Well, of course, but...
Now, we have had word. The Nazis are planning a surprise raid on the Jews.
Here? In Denmark?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not possible. They haven't bothered the Jews here up to now. Why should they begin now?
I don't know why, Mr. Bertelsen. I only know what the orders coming through will be. The orders will be to round up every Jew in Denmark for deportation. Will you hide these two?
Will I... Mr. Moritzson, why did you come to me?
You were my nephew's teacher. I understand you're a good teacher. A good teacher would not want to see children hurt.
No. No, he would not.
Now, you understand this is illegal. If they're found...
Moritzson, you need talk no further. We'll keep them here, of course.
Good. I knew you would.
You knew? What made you so sure?
How could you not, Bertelsen? Don't you have two children of your own?
It was the beginning of the strangest time of my life. A time in which only dishonest men could afford to be legal. For almost a week, Benjamin and Ruth stayed with us. And then for the second time, early in the morning, we had a visitor. My wife, Gerda. answered the door.
Ah, Mr. Muritzen, come right in.
Mrs. Bertelsen, is your husband here?
Yes, I am here, Mr. Muritzen.
Well, it started.
The roundup?
No, perhaps worse.
What do you mean, Muritzen?
Well, in the last few days, several hundred Jews went up to the coast. They tried to get across to Sweden.
Yes, we had heard about that.
Well, last night the Germans found them up there, hiding in the boat sheds and bathhouses.
And they were taken prisoner?
Many, yes. Those who tried to escape were hunted down and shot.
They shot them? Those defenseless people?
I haven't finished, Mrs. Bertelsen. I've come here to tell you something else. There are prairie schooners all over the neighborhood.
Prairie schooners?
It's what they call German army trucks, Gerda.
Well, why are they here? What does it mean?
Well, it means that the rumor of a raid is almost certainly not a rumor. Now, you'd better do something about the two children that you have hiding here. And whatever you're going to do, you better do it fast.
We looked at each other, Gerda and I, and we knew we had a moment of decision upon us. A moment in which a man must face himself when he must make a choice, knowing that he must live with his decision to the end of his days.
The attic. We can put them in the attic.
Yes, of course, Gerda, the attic. I should have thought of that myself. That is how it began, with two children and a chief of police who understood that a man, to be a man, must enforce the highest law, the law of compassion and humanity. But I am getting ahead of my story. I kissed Gerda goodbye and bicycled to my school to see our headmaster, Mr. Sigrixson.
Of course, Bertelsen. I agree with you completely.
I knew you would, Mr. Sigrixson.
It's barbaric what they're doing, barbaric. Whatever can be done must be done. I wish I could help, too.
But you are helping, sir.
Not as much as I'd want to. Will you go ahead, then? Take as much time as you need, a few days, a week if necessary.
It may be longer than that, sir.
Well, whatever's required, then. But you'd better cover your absence in some way.
I've thought of that. I'm going straight down to the district medical officer to get a certificate of illness.
Ah, it's a good idea. What will you tell him?
Oh, I will tell him there's something with my stomach. It's not so far from the truth. I am sick to my stomach with what's happening.
All right, then, Bertelsen. Go ahead and good luck.
Thank you, sir.
But when you get down there to the district medical office...
Yes, sir.
Better take my son Sig along with you. I'm quite sure he's having trouble with the stomach, too, this morning.
It was the 2nd of October when we met for the first time in our house with the blue curtains. My wife, Gerda, Sig, Mr. Muritzen, half a dozen others. There were a remarkably large number of Danes who developed stomach trouble in the first days of October, 1943.
Then it's decided? Then it's decided, yes? This house will be our headquarters.
You're quite sure you want to do this, Mrs. Bertelsen?
Yes, Mr. Muritzen. We have sent Hans and Inga off to the country, to my sisters, so there's nothing to stop us.
Gerda.
Yes, Sig.
What do we do first?
First, I think we'd better get up a list, just where the Jews of Langby are, how many there are, and where they're being sheltered.
The police can help with that, Mrs. Bertelsen.
I was counting on your help, Mr. Muritzen. Sig, you can help me with the records here.
Records? Is that wise?
We'll find a way of keeping them so that no one else will be able to read them.
Oh, good. But what use will a list be?
I am not sure yet, Sig, but we'll see. Ua is in Copenhagen now, seeing some friends in the government.
We really didn't understand at first. We thought we could get exit permits from the government. Sometimes we knew, after Nazi actions against the Jews in other countries, the Germans had let some of the survivors out. In our Danish government offices, there was shock at the sudden turn of events, but our government officials were helpless. Our government was captive to the Nazis. Still, I kept trying, hoping always that someday...
Where to now, mister?
The Ministry of Finance, driver.
Right. didn't take long, mister. Now where?
The Ministry of Education this time.
Yes, sir. Where do you want to go now, mister? You've been to every government office in Copenhagen.
Don't you think I know that, driver?
Look, mister, it's getting late. Where do you want to go?
Take me out to Lyngby.
To Lyngby? Look, I wouldn't go to Lyngby for 1,000 kroner, not at this hour. You can get yourself another cab.
But you know, I can't find another cab. They're very scarce.
Well, that's just too bad now, isn't it?
Driver, I must get to Lyngby.
I'm sorry, mister. It's time for me to turn in.
Listen to me, driver. This is a matter of human lives. Many human lives.
Many?
Many. Perhaps hundreds.
You mean the Jews?
I've said all I can say.
Well, why didn't you say it before? Of course I'll take you to Lyngby. I'll take you anywhere except Berlin.
Kelson, the taxi driver, became a member of our group. So did Larking, the taxi driver, and Professor Eyre, and Dr. Strandbygard, and Professor Prohaska, and, well, I cannot name them all. But within 2 days, there were 60 members of our group operating out of our headquarters, our house with blue curtains. The word traveled fast about the house with the blue curtains, but it was understood that no Jew would come to the house. That danger was too great.
Wow, can you see who it is?
Yes, it's someone I don't know. It's a policeman. A policeman with a beard.
With a beard, you say?
Yes, Sig.
Then it's David. There's only one policeman in Lyngby with a beard.
But you are sure it's all right to let him in, Sig?
All right. You bet it's all right. David's a one-man rescue operation.
It was David, I learned, who had brought Ruth and Benjamin to the chief of police to be hidden. David, who, day and night, completely disregarding danger to himself, had walked the streets of Lyngby, moving Jewish families from hiding place to hiding place. And it was David who helped us make our most important plans in the house with the blue curtains. We called each other by our first names from the very beginning.
I understand you've been in Copenhagen all day.
Yes, that's right, David. How did you know?
It doesn't matter, I know. You haven't been able to get any exit permits, have you?
No. Everyone wants to help, but...
Well, it was worth a try, Will. But I could have told you before you started it was hopeless.
You could have told me. How would you know?
How would I know? You haven't had much to do with the Nazis up to now, have you?
No. That is, not directly.
Well, neither have I directly. But when you feel for others, when your brothers are being hunted and persecuted and slaughtered, then it's almost the same. Almost the same as if they were hunting you.
I'm beginning to learn that.
I've been learning it for 7 years, Ua. I'm Jewish. It's time to plan some other way. We're not going to get exit permits for the Jews of Denmark.
Our plan for rescuing the Jews of Denmark, both those who were citizens and those who had sought refuge within our frontiers, was based on the geography of our country. The coastline of Zealand is long and difficult to patrol, and the sound which lies between Zealand and Sweden, though deep and with strong currents, is narrow. At one point, it is only 3 miles between the Danish and Swedish coasts. All of this we took into account as we made our plans in the house with the blue curtains.
There must be private boats up there. If we could find out who owns them. What do you think, Sig?
Gerda, the Nazis have confiscated every private boat up there.
But the fishing boats go out, I'm sure of that.
But that will take money, or a good deal of money.
We'll get it, David. We spread the word about, we'll get it.
And the captains of the fishing boats, will they take the chance? Most of them probably have never even seen a Jew.
David, you were right before when you said, I haven't had much to do with the Nazis. I don't know Nazis, but I do know Danes.
And you think they'll help?
We have an old saying in Denmark, David. It's a simple Danish declaration of human rights.
What saying?
It's this. A man is a man, even if he is not bigger than a mouse. You'll see. The fisherman will help. We sent Sig up to Hummelbeck on the coast to make what arrangements he could. In our house with the blue curtains, meanwhile, Gerda and the others carried forward a somewhat unusual business.
Hello? Hello? Yes, this is Mrs. Bertelsen. I understand you have some rare books in your house.
On the telephone, because we feared wiretapping. Jews were books.
Can you tell me how many you'd be willing to part with?
There was something appropriate about it. In a way, each Jewish man or woman or child was a book. A living repository of the greatest book of them all.
Then we'll plan to pick up 5 large books, 3 medium-sized books, and 20 small books tonight at 8. Is that clear?
It was very clear. In the first days of October 1943, we managed to ship scores of books to the coast of Ceylon. The money for the job came almost without our asking for it.
20,000 kroner from Mr. Fogg.
Oh, thanks, Mortensen. But I asked him for only 10,000.
Yes, he says he knows you by now. He says it's more convenient to give you 20,000 at once.
He's right.
Also, 7,000 kroner from Mr. Henrique. And 20,000 from Mr. Rerdam and 6,000 from Mr. Buell. It's remarkable. Absolutely remarkable.
What's remarkable, Moritzen?
The sudden interest. The sudden literary interest of the Danish people in rare books.
It took less than 2 days to complete our arrangements for our first transport. And on a dark night in October 43... Kelson, our driver, settled himself next to me in the cab of a truck, and we began our rounds.
This way. Bring them this way. Quickly.
From one part of Lengby to another we went, picking up Jews who had been sheltered by our friends and neighbors.
Are they all injured?
Yes. All for tonight.
Good. Then I'll lock up. Friends. Friends, can you hear me? I'm going to close the back of the truck now. Please forgive me. I don't like to lock you up this way. But if we don't lock you up, we can't get you to some place where you'll be free.
We took them northward, our precious truckload, by back roads past Nazi sentries, northward toward the coast of Ceylon and freedom. At Hummelbeck, in the darkness, we found our way to a farmhouse which Sig had secured for us.
Ua, Ua.
Yes, here, Sig. Where do we put them?
In the hayloft. This way. Follow me.
It was the first time. There would be other times, many of them, but this was the first time. They settled down in the hayloft, our precious charges. And I lay down, too, to wait for word that a fishing boat had been found that was ready to make the run to Sweden. I looked around me at my fellow human beings, the aged, the women, the babies. My thoughts went beyond them to their oppressors. David was lying next to me, and he turned to me, reading the emotion in my eyes.
Ua, don't hate them.
Is my face that transparent, David?
Oh, I know the look, Ua. I've seen it before.
How can I not hate them, David? Not only do they persecute you, all of these helpless human beings, but...
But what, Ua?
But they force me and Gerda and the rest of us who are not persecuted into the degradation of smuggling Danish fellow citizens out of our own country as if they were criminals. They make us treat people as if they were cattle or sacks of produce.
You could never treat people as if they were cattle. I know you only a few days, but that much I know. There's too much love in you to do that.
There isn't much love in me at the moment, David.
You're a teacher of divinity, aren't you?
I was, David, until a few days ago.
Then you know it is better to love than to hate?
I know it. But just now, I don't feel it.
Every man doubts, every man struggles. But a man who has faith does not yield to hate.
I know that, David. I know it, but...
But you wonder why. Why God let this happen?
Yes, I wonder. Like Job, I wonder.
Will a teacher of divinity let me tell him something?
Of course, David.
I will tell you what I have been taught since I was a little boy. You must think of God's almighty power. Compared to him who a human being is but dust and ashes. High above all rulers he exists. He alone rules. He alone controls the stars, the world, the atoms, everything. Oh, in his sphere, suffering is not suffering. Misfortune is not misfortune. It is part of the divine process of creation. And his noblest gem, Ua, is the man who stamps his picture with his work. Do not hate, Ua. Accept. Yet as you accept, battle against this misery and persecution. For that is part of our duty to God.
The words were in my ears that night, all that night. I thought of them the next day while we waited still for a boat that would take our fellow Danes across to Sweden. And I was thinking of them still on the second night as we watched David jump from the wharf to the fishing boat which had agreed to take our rare books to Sweden.
All on board, Ua?
Yes, all on board.
David.
Yes, Sig?
Tell the captain to cast off.
Right, I'll do that now. Ua, for all of us, I thank you.
Please, David, no thanks now. I will not forget what you have taught me.
What is that? Ua, what is that?
The Germans. Captain, cast off!
Gerda, Sig, quickly, this way. There's a place on the beach where we can hide. We found a place behind a dune and waited. The Nazi soldiers came, but did not find us. And within an hour, all was quiet once again. Only a soft wind blew from the Swedish coast, carrying a distant sound of the humming of a fishing boat's engines. Gerda, my wife, turned her face toward me, and her eyes were as radiant as the night.
Ua, it is so strange.
That we should be hiding here in the sand, Gerda? Yes, very strange.
No, I don't mean that. That I should feel so grateful. In my head, I have been saying thank you. Thank you. Just thank you over and over.
Yes, I know. I've been saying it too. It is as if we never realized before what it means to live.
What's that, Ua? What is that? Do you hear it?
Yes. They're singing. They're singing on the boat, Gerda. They've crossed into Swedish waters.
Do you know what it means?
Yes. Yes, I do. David told me. It means... Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And it is so, Gerda. He is one. It is 13 years now since we worked in the house with the blue curtains, the house itself. No longer stand. But we who remember October 1943 are proud that we, with other Danes, had a part in saving almost all of Denmark's 7,000 Jewish citizens. But it is not only that I think of when I think of October 1943. It is of David that I think and what I learned from him. It is better to love than to hate. To love God is to love his children, all his children. And this is true not only in Denmark, my country, but in every land on the face of the earth. If we but see it, each one of us, all our lives, lives in a house with blue curtains. A house from which can pour forth compassion and brotherhood and concern for all our fellow men.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take pleasure in presenting Mr. Herman Levin, member of the cabinet of the National Planning Committee of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Mr. Levin.
If we but see it, each one of us, all our lives, lives in a house with blue curtains. A house from which can pour forth compassion and brotherhood and concern for our fellow men. If from these final lines of our script today, we realize that there is within each of us a divine power, then why do we keep this power dormant? Must we wait for a Nazi Holocaust to evoke compassion and brotherly concern? Why can't we, under all circumstances, in peace as well as in war, why can't we at all times, in daily living as well as in crisis, serve each other with this love and understanding? Aage Bertelsen and his fellow Danes worked together under a crisis. Aage Bertelsen and men like him continue in times of peace to help to eliminate man's persistent enemies, poverty, disease, ignorance, bigotry, forces more devastating and more destructive than any war. We must harness in peacetime our wartime spirit, energy, and resourcefulness if we are to create a world brotherhood of man. This is a challenge to all men. Let us devote more of our time to succor the sick. Let us help uplift the downtrodden. Let us aid and enlighten the uneducated. Let us unite to remove the blemish of bigotry. We must learn to love rather than to hate. We must be concerned rather than unconcerned. We must try, to the best of our abilities, to be a house with blue curtains, a center of love and brotherhood for all men, at all times, in every street, in every town in USA.
Thank you, Mr. Levin. Our Eternal Light drama today, The House with the Blue Curtains by Mark Siegel, was based on the book entitled October 1943, written by Uwe Bertelsen. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Virginia Payne, Carl Swenson, Santos Ortega, Robert Hastings, Joe Helgeson, and Sam Gray. Uwe was played by John Larkin. This is Bill Hanrahan speaking. This has been an NBC Radio Network production directed by Daniel Sutter. The program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.